listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. And we've got an action-packed hour for you. Yeah, Monday Night Football, for sure. Big preview. Also, though, we're looking back to figure out what happened this weekend so we can take advantage next weekend. Bottom of the hour, we're going to explain to you why everyone else is wrong about the Philadelphia Eagles. In studio with me, the pros who know. Brad Powers, college football specialist. Steve Fezzik, NFL specialist. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without the Joes. And we're joined by my favorite, Jonas Knox, voice of the fans.
Always good to be here on a Football Monday, RJ, as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We start with the big news out of the NFL. The Oakland Raiders have traded wide receiver Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys for a 2019 first-round pick. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on this trade for the Cowboys?
Yeah, this one's easy on the Cowboys side. What? Now, that might seem strong, but think about this, Fez, NFL expert, two-time Super Contest champion, only guy ever to do that.
I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
And he has a mansion and a yacht. Think about that, from betting the NFL. Let's assume things go reasonably well for the Cowboys post-trade. How many wins do they get?
Right at 500. Eight wins.
Eight is reasonably well. I was going to say nine.
Oh, they're 3-4.
Okay. So eight, maybe nine.
Yes.
So odds are they don't make the playoffs. If I said right now, even money, I'm going to say the Cowboys won't make the playoffs. You've got to bet they will. Would you bet me?
You got to give me 2-1.
2-1. So you're saying like a third of a chance the Cowboys make the playoffs.
Yes.
I think you're right there. I'm not even sure that I'm not. I think I might give you 2-1.
Only because the division.
Oh, because of the East. Yeah. Good point. What I mean, right now, the Super Bowl odds on the Cowboys are what in your mind?
I would say 80-100-1.
Okay, so very likely the ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl, this isn't going to affect anything. This trade is not going to benefit the Cowboys in any tangible way. So now, what are you gaining? Are you playing for the future, perhaps? Okay, well, if you look at Cooper, next year is his fifth year option. $14 million are going to have to pay him.
$14
million! That's a new thing Fez is doing. He ate the whole thing, wasn't but Fez, that's pretty good. But if you look at it, where do we rank Cooper when it comes to wide receivers in the NFL?
He's right around 25th. He's a poor number one wide receiver.
Yeah, in the 20s. So, yeah, it'd be great for him to be a number two. It'd be great. But if you're going to pay him $14 million and next year, and you literally gave up a number one that, if you're right about eight wins, could be in the mid-teens, and let's be honest, could be even better, that number one pick, what are you gaining for it if you're the Cowboys? You're gaining a small increased chance to make the playoffs and have very little chance to go far in them, and the right to pay him next year $14 million, which he's overpaid. It's one thing to give a draft choice if a guy's underpaid. So to me, I don't see anything redeeming when it comes to this trade from the Cowboys' side. Am I missing anything?
I think what you might be missing is Dak Prescott. How good is he? He's in his third year, and Cole Beasley's his number one wide receiver. They want to get a wide receiver in there that they can properly assess his development.
Okay, now that's a fascinating point. You're saying Dak is on the next year is his last year under contract. This will help them figure out what they got.
Exactly.
Boy, that's mighty expensive to do it, though. Let's take a look at the other side of the equation on the Raiders side, because I think that's one that's fascinating too. People aren't talking about this one as much. But to me, Fez, I mean, look at the market reaction to this. Raiders are playing the Colts next week. Raiders off a bye. Raiders at home. This is one of those, hey, let's save the season type spots. Or at least let's save ourselves from drastic embarrassment type spots. Now, the look-ahead line, which is you can bet this game a week early, you could have, it was the Raiders favored by 1.5. Makes sense. Home field, 3 in the NFL. Colts are better. Raiders 1.5 at home off a bye. What happened after this trade?
So after the trade, just a tsunami of money being bet on Indianapolis. That line has gone up from Indianapolis -1 early this morning. Currently, Indy is laying -3.
Okay, so Raiders last week were favored by 1.5. Line comes out Sunday night into Monday. Colts are favored by 1. Now, after the trade, Colts are up to favored by 3. Think about this. A 2-5 Colts team favored by a field goal on the road. You don't see that much. Is Cooper, doesn't that run contrary to what we just were preaching? Oh, Cooper's not all that valuable. Why would the line move this much?
Yeah, very much runs contrary to it because Cooper was concussed in London. He might not even have played, only worth about 0.5 points, but it's all about the bettor's eyes, the mindset of the Raiders. They are selling the Raiders right now on this, what they perceive to be bad news for this year.
Because it's what's their intention. And we talked about our thoughts on the intention of the Raiders. Nick Wright from First Things First had a take that I actually disagree with, but I think this take is the common one. Let's hear Nick.
I know John Gruden said Derek Carr is the most talented quarterback he's ever had, but everything they've done this offseason that seems so confusing starts to make a lot more sense if you look at it from the perspective of Gruden doesn't think they have their quarterback. If you operate from the perspective of Gruden thinks the reason we're in full rebuild, the reason we need extra first-round picks is because we're going to be in the quarterback drafting business soon, then all of a sudden, his year doesn't seem so crazy.
Now, I think that's common, right, Jonas? That sounds like what people are saying, which is, oh, it's a sign of rebuilding.
Right.
And you were saying that didn't make sense to you.
No, it doesn't make sense to me from the standpoint of I talked to somebody who is close to the organization that I trust that told me the reason for the movement of Khalil Mack and the reason for moving Amari Cooper, John Gruden didn't want the highest paid player on the team to be anybody other than a quarterback. I think he believes in Derek Carr, and he feels like he's got the guy at that position, and now it's just about building around him, and you give him credit for being able to land a first-round pick for a wide receiver who hasn't been able to stay healthy, who has disappeared at times, and who had the drops a year ago. That's not just a Gruden problem. That was with Jack Del Rio, the same thing as well, too.
Now, hold on a second, Jonas. If you have these insider information,
well,
I can't tell you who it is, but wink, wink, he's really, really connected. Why aren't we getting any winners from this? Why don't we get the Jonas Inside Steam best bets on Friday?
Well, look, Steve Fezzik's got a mansion and a yacht. He's not letting anybody drive the yacht, though. You know, I mean, you got to keep some of this stuff close to you. I can't share everything.
Oh, wait a minute. You're saying we're laying it all bare right here. On Friday, I gave a 2-18 trend to the under on the Rams. And I said, yeah, I get this is going to hurt my pocketbook, but we're going to hurt the bookies. And across the country, what happened, Fez?
Everybody won 2-19 trend now.
Yeah, but somehow Jonas, that has a pittance of really valuable information, he's holding on to it.
Well, you're the most giving man in radio right now.
You know something? Lucky he's so good at what he does. Now, let's think. I agree with Jonas in this case, though. I don't think Nick's take of what he walks in, Gruden, in just one off season, one training camp, he figures out Derek Carr is so inferior that he can't win with them. And Gruden's thinking, all right, you know what the Raiders need to do? We need to trade everybody we got that's any good. So Mack, top three defensive player in the NFL, let's make sure to get rid of him. And oh, even though this year they would have, you know, he was on the rookie deal still. So he was valuable this year. And oh, by the way, Cooper, yeah, 25th best receiver. Let's make sure to get rid of him. Because who was Cooper the best receiver on the Raiders?
No, the Jordy Nelson was the best one year to date in performance.
All right, so under that theory, if you got a guy that's the 25th best in the NFL, and he's your second best receiver, and you've got Derek Carr, that yeah, I don't think Carr's as good as we thought he was a couple years ago. But entering the year, you thought Carr was what, Fez? 1-32.
Number 11. Just missed the top 10.
No, just missed the top 10. So if you have two top 32 receivers and a number 11 quarterback and a top three D-end edge rusher in Mac, that seems like the beginnings of a pretty good team to me. How many teams have that, you know, the 11th best quarterback plus the I get it. The Raiders weren't going to be winning any Super Bowls. It's got to be something other than in a couple months he figured out you can't win with Derek Carr. And I'll tell you, Jonas, I think it goes back to what we talked about last week. And let's be candid. A lot of people were skeptical when we said we think there's a financial problem. And Collins talked about this with the Raiders organization and the idea that they just needed to bridge, a bridge to get to Vegas. You give Gruden a bunch of money. You trade off everyone else. You get a bunch of picks. And then Gruden takes the heat. But hey, he's getting paid to take the heat. You get yourself to Vegas. You got a bunch of picks. All of a sudden, the team starts to surge. Everyone's happy. Boy, that theory backs this up, backs up these moves a lot more than, oh, it's a sudden pessimism about Derek Carr. Does anyone disagree? Does anyone take the Nick Wright side here?
No, not at all. And Gruden has always been super, super confident about Carr and praised him throughout the year in every press conference.
When we come back, we are going to... Oh, wait. The X-Files, it was like, there's mystery when we come back. And we're going to give you the number one takeaway for every NFL game on Sunday.
That's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This program brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com today and find out if you could save.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a moment, it is our Monday recap of a busy Sunday in the NFL.
Each day we have fun bringing Vegas to you. Right now on the Strip, 75 degrees, and the neon is flowing.
Guys, it was a busy Sunday in the NFL. It's time for our Monday recap here on Straight Out of Vegas, and we start in London, where the Chargers escape with a 20-19 win over the Tennessee Titans.
Fez, to me, Fez, I think Rivers is having his best season, and maybe not. You can debate it, but it's hard to say that's ludicrous. It's very reasonable Rivers is having his best season. Agree, disagree?
Agree. I'm just concerned that Coach Lynn is holding him back at midfield up 7. They run the ball instead of going for the juggler.
I agree. I do not want to bet this Chargers team in close games. I want to bet them either as a big dog or a big favorite. One of the worst coaches in the league, in my opinion. By the way, Chargers, 2 losses against the Rams and the Chiefs.
The Patriots, in a game that had implications and a lot riding as far as this show goes, with a 7-point win over the Chicago Bears in Chicago.
Well, listen, we'll be talking about Fez paying me money on this game a little later. Main takeaway for me, New England's running backs. Super thin right now, Fez. And because of that, it could be a problem. Also, you could see even more passing from the Patriots.
Absolutely, because Michelle was it in terms of bell cows that they can use. They're going to throw more. New England is.
And I don't think they throw downfield more. I think you're going to see a lot more kind of those long handoffs, which are really, which are throws. And because of that, if you're playing props, I think Brady over completions, over yards and such, very important.
James White over.
I agree. But one thing about White, and we'll talk about this as the week progresses, he's their last rock solid back. Do they maybe start protecting him like they do Gronk? Only using him when they need to. Something to think about.
The Browns go to yet another overtime game, this time in Tampa. This time they lose 26-23, the final. Bucks win.
Fourth overtime in seven games. It's almost hard to imagine. Different points of this game, you could have said, oh, Browns should have won. Oh, Tampa should have won. But if you look at the Browns on the road last 24, they're 0-24 straight up. But there is something different about Mayfield. If Mayfield weren't the quarterback, even if it was Taylor, who a lot of people thought entering the year was better for the Browns, we had Tampa -3, Fez. We would have had no problems cashing that ticket. I think Mayfield brings an energy and a confidence. And even though his stat line might not look good every week, I think the Browns are much better off with Mayfield.
Agreed. I think Mayfield's a 2-point upgrade right now over Taylor.
Now, one thing that concerns me, Hugh Jackson is talking about getting even more involved in the offense. Whenever Hugh gets involved, you want to sell.
The Lions go to Miami and take care of the Dolphins 32-21.
How good is this Lions team?
I've got them as an above average team now, RJ. Right around number 12 in the league, and it's all about Kerryon Johnson being able to run the ball. Think about the Lions. They never can run the ball. Now they have a running attack.
You could make the case the Lions, if you say, show us your two best wins, their wins when they've really been dominant, and including the Pats, it's been like, oh my, how good is this team? And obviously the Jets loss, the loss to the Jets on Monday Night Football for the Lions might have been one of the worst losses of the year. Now that as the season progresses, it seems like the Lions are trending upwards. And all that narrative about, oh, this, you know, another Belichick disciple doesn't know how to coach as a head coach. A lot of those stories, I don't hear as many of them. I have some optimism for the Lions.
The Indianapolis Colts take care of business at home, a 37-5 win over the Buffalo Bills.
So is this as simple as Anderson had thrown four passes in 700 days, literally, coming into this game, and that nothing else really mattered? Or did you see something else, Fez, in this game?
I think that Derek Anderson was the main story. He did lose his starting running back in the first quarter, but he was overthrowing his receivers all game long.
Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs blow out the Bengals 45-10.
And to me, if you look at this Chiefs, you can't help but think about how tough their schedule has been. Up to this point, we're almost halfway through the year, right? Seven games. Chiefs haven't had a bye yet. The easiest game the Chiefs have had was at Denver on Monday Night Football at altitude. Every other game has been more difficult. And the fact they've won them all except a war in New England, if you look at the second half of the season, Kansas City looks, I mean, it's cruise city. Now, there's going to be some tough games, but I think they have the Chiefs by far the toughest schedule up to this point and one of the easiest from here. Do you agree with that?
I do agree. And frankly, the problem with the Chiefs, the Achilles heel we've been saying, has been the defense. Well, now they played the Bengals, who have a good offense, and held them to under 4.5 yards per play. Optimism for the Chiefs.
Now, quick question. On Straight Out of Vegas, the weekend edition, 11 o'clock Pacific to midnight on Saturday, right before Jonas and one of his four-hour all-nighters he has. Only Jonas can do those well, I think.
Right.
I had the following bet with Bernie Fratto. I won't tell you which side I had. You tell me which side you want. Kansas City to make the Super Bowl, Pats to make the Super Bowl. Pick one, and if one does, the other person pays. And if neither does, no bet. Which side do you want?
It's too close to call.
Okay. I want Kansas City. So if you want to bet me, feel free.
The Vikings go on the road. They play the Jets, and they get a 20-point win in Jersey.
Is this Sam Darnold situation as simple as he's a rookie? When he's put in a good spot, he can make some big plays. When he's forced to throw, especially against a complex defense like Zimmer, he's still a rookie. Because it feels like the ebb and flow with Darnold is so much, oh, he's great, oh, he's horrible, oh, he's great. Let's gain some perspective. Where's Darnold at in your mind?
Yeah, I still think Darnold is about the 27th best quarterback in the NFL.
So bottom of the pack.
Yes, but you bring up a great point. If he's only throwing 22 times a game, he's fine, like when they're running all over Denver. But he had to throw 40 times here, 40% of his passes, that's it, he was able to complete.
But if you drafted him, you wouldn't start having any pessimism yet.
No, not at all.
I agree. I mean, we can't forget that it takes a while for quarterbacks, oftentimes, not always, to evolve, to grow into the role. One last thing, Minnesota's defense, up arrow, improving, but the O-line for Minnesota got even more banged up.
Yeah, another lineman went down during the game. We'll have to evaluate it as the week progresses.
The Houston Texans have won four in a row, a 20-7 win at Jacksonville.
One of the things we're going to start doing on Wednesday is asking the biggest questions of the week. Like these, answer this question and you've got your pick. Here's my question. I'm going to do a tease early, Fez. Does the London trip for Jacksonville, obviously you thought Jacksonville was going to have a home run all in. They had lost two in a row. Now's the time to win in division. Obviously, you were very disappointed.
Yes, complete no-show on offense. Thank you, Blake Bortles.
Now, talk was there was going to, and I saw this word in the press, a mutiny potentially with Jacksonville's players, the defense especially, saying, get this guy out. But the backup's no good either for Jacksonville.
Yeah, Cody Kessler, complete journeyman. He's not the answer.
What's your downgrade to Kessler?
Kessler is a one-point downgrade. But frankly, RJ, I think even though it's a downgrade, Jacksonville might be better off with them, with the locker room being happier.
So here's the question. Does the London trip, which is next week for Jacksonville, and that's against the Eagles, right?
Yes.
Wow. Both teams need to win. Is the trip something that brings the team together? Or is the trip something like, and I'll speak from personal experience, your mom and dad's fighting, you drive across in the family truckster, right, in the station wagon, and all those stressors on the road, it makes, there's more fighting. That's been my experience.
Typically, no one does London better than the Jaguars. They're used to this trip.
Yeah, but that's the question. They've usually been used to it when there hasn't been this much turmoil. Answer that question. I think you got the pick in the London game.
A missed extra point by Justin Tucker gives the Saints a 24-23 win in Baltimore.
Fez, I'm going to keep this one simple. It was a coin flip game.
Not only a coin flip game, I think either team could have won and both teams played very well. I'm thinking about upgrading both teams, RJ.
That's interesting. So I think the narrative is, oh, Baltimore is fraudulent. Now they play a real team. I think this week especially, and I'm not saying based on any matchups or anything, but I think Baltimore today is underrated because of that loss. Because the narrative was coming in the year, oh, Baltimore's not that good, but then they won some games. It's like, oh, we'll see. Now they finally play a good team. It's like, Hey, they could have easily won that game. How much different would the Baltimore narrative be right now, the perception of the public, if they had won that game? And it was truly a coin flip.
The Redskins beat the Cowboys 20-17 in D.C.
Another example, like the Chargers, one of the worst game coaches. I can't judge X's and O's, but I know when it comes to game time, late game decisions, Chargers coach not good. The clapper, as Lombardi calls him, not good. And to me, it just shows you, if you want to bet the Cowboys, either bet them as a bigger favorite or a bigger dog, stay away from money lines with the Cowboys. And if you're betting against the Cowboys, look to play the money line, because this team tends to lose more close games than pretty much any team in the league. And a lot of it driven by the poor coaching from the clapper.
Specifically, way too conservative. So concerned about a possible turnover that they don't play to win.
The Rams all over the 49ers, 39-10.
Listen, everyone's saying, Bill Simmons was saying, oh, we should just bet the Rams every week. Well, listen, this is all you need to know. If you look at the New England Patriots in 2007, they finished 18-1. If you had bet them the last nine games, so you saw them start out like 10-0, and you said, all right, I'm going to bet you the rest of the year, you would have been 1-8 against the spread. Vegas does not let these dominant teams become easy bets. Be very careful with the Rams. I think there's going to be value going the other way. Last thing, San Fran, last 30 games without Jimmy G, 2-28. No wonder you love Jimmy G, Fez. When we come back, we're going to talk some college football, but also what Vegas thinks very differently about the Super Bowl champion Eagles.
All that coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
Raiders were a busy squad today, dealing wide receiver Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys. They get a first-round pick in return. The Raiders have also placed running back Marshawn Lynch on injured reserve with a groin injury. The NFL's trade deadline is a week from tomorrow. Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson apparently wants out, but that's news to Cardinals head coach Steve Wilks.
I don't know whether or not he's really requested that. He hasn't expressed that to me, but we will talk at some point in time.
Wilks added this.
We're not trading Patrick. That's out of the question.
Peterson's contract, by the way, runs through the 2020 season. Jaguars are going to start Blake Bortles at quarterback Sunday against the Eagles. Bills sticking with Derek Anderson in Week 8 as Josh Allen remains out with his elbow injury. Bills have the Patriots a week from tonight. Of course, tonight it's the Giants and Falcons. Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill and wide receiver Kenny Stills out for Thursday's game against the Texans. Brock Osweiler will get his third straight start at quarterback. Dodgers have set their rotation for the World Series. Clayton Kershaw is going to pitch in Game 1 tomorrow night in Boston against the Red Sox. Hunjin Ryu gets the start in Game 2. Walker Buehler is going to go in Game 3 Friday in Los Angeles. Of course, you can see the World Series only on Fox. Finally, the Lakers going to have Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball in the starting lineup tonight against the Spurs as Brandon Ingram and Rajon Rondo begin their suspensions for their role in their fight this past weekend against the Rockets. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas comes to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we will have best bets here on Straight Out of Vegas. I am Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Las Vegas, RJ Bell.
Last NFL game, Fez, then we'll get to the colleges with Brad. Eagles, Super Bowl champions, lose a game. Colin was saying, see how hard it is? Yeah, he's right. But boy, it was a coin flip against Carolina. And to me, if you look at the stats, there's a lot to be encouraged by with the Eagles.
Yeah, specifically Wentz, if we're looking at his progression, hey, the first two games the Eagles played, it was Foles. He was bad. Wentz comes back, games 3 and 4, 5.5 yards per pass play. Next two games, 7.5. This last game, 8.4, continued improvement from Wentz, who's looking like a top-tier quarterback now.
So you would say yesterday, Wentz looked the best he did in since last year.
Absolutely.
I agree. But remember, guys, there's two different things to consider as a sports fan, as a sports batter. One is, how good is this team? The other is, what's the chance of this team winning the title / making the playoffs? Each loss that a team has, the mathematics of the standings, we can sit here all day and say, coin flip this and lucky that. Hey, sometimes the third, fourth best team in the NFL can sometimes miss the playoffs. I mean, Chargers, in theory, last year were one of those teams. So on one hand, yeah, wins and losses matter for standings. But boy, when it comes to how good a team is, don't get caught up believing a coin flip is anything more than a coin flip. Baltimore, Saints, pretty much even. Carolina, Philly, pretty much even. Two teams won, two teams lost. The average fan will take that very seriously. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Brad Powers joins us with all the college knowledge. All right, Brad, you've been behind Michigan. Now, we'll give you a chance to crow a little bit and just tell us what you saw in that Michigan game.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, Michigan won the game by 2 touchdowns, covered the 7-point spread against Michigan State. And I know there's a lot of positive vibes about Michigan going on right now. I would say after watching that game, the final score was misleading in the fact that Michigan should have won the game by 5 touchdowns. Michigan State couldn't even manage 100 yards of offense. The only drive Michigan State had that converted into points was 7 yards after a Michigan turnover. This is a Wolverine team that was even more dominant than the final indicated last Saturday.
Now, obviously, Ohio State, the other side of the coin, looked horrible. It's one of those WTF games. Well, let me ask you, WTF, ...
Yeah, very similar to what happened in the Iowa game last year for the Buckeyes. They go on their own Big Ten play. They're a significant 2-touchdown-plus favorite and lose the game by 4 touchdowns-plus. A little bit different than last year's, the vibe I got with this year's Ohio State team. And I'll give the nod to Kirk Herbstreit, who was on the game, says, hey, where's the team leaders on this year's team for Ohio State? There's no JT Barrett. There's no Billy Price, a 4-year starter on the offensive line. He was questioned, can Ohio State rebound like they did after the Iowa loss last year?
There's so many good players in college football now relative to the past with all the 7-on-7s and all the professional level camps that these kids go through. The difference between an Ohio State and even an average Big Ten school talent-wise is less than it used to be. So you can't have these drop-offs. You can't have these flat spots. And who's the two coaches that's been most dominant the last 5 years?
No question, Saban and Urban Meyer.
Well,
and
would
maybe Dabo Sweeney.
Sweeney.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, how would you characterize Sweeney's level of discipline?
Much more disciplined his teams are than what Urban Meyer.
All right, so let's say the top three coaches are Meyer, Saban, Sweeney. Two of them very disciplined, one of them not. And, oh, by some happenstance, the one at Ohio State with Meyer that's not as disciplined, they seem to lose at least one game a year that's like, WTF.
Guys, it's a rivalry game no matter what. And, RJ, you know this growing up in Ohio and being an Ohio State alum, that anytime Michigan comes to town, you're always going to get up for that game. But don't you feel like this loss makes Ohio State even more motivated in that finale to save their season, and they can do it and potentially get into a college football playoff by beating their arch rival?
You know, I think it's back to the whole Spinal Tap, can the amp go past 10? To me, if you have a chance to win out, first off, are we sure that Ohio State wins out, that they make the playoffs?
I think they're in. No question about it. They win out, Ohio State's in.
And they're in over Oklahoma if they win out.
Ooh. Now, that's a good question.
Or are they in over Notre Dame with one loss?
They're in over Notre Dame.
Now, let me ask you this. And we got Clay Travis has a thought in a moment on this. But let me ask you this question. If Michigan beats Ohio State,
yep,
and Notre Dame has one loss, who gets in? Notre Dame or Michigan?
That's a great call.
Let's hear what Clay Travis thinks.
I think with the Ohio State loss, there's an argument to be made that Notre Dame could still lose a game, go 11-1, and make the college football playoff.
And he was talking about that Michigan example. But think about that a second. Michigan wins the Big Ten, but Notre Dame, how do you really punish them for being an independent? And they especially had a pretty tough schedule, and then they beat Michigan, and you're going to leave Notre Dame out?
It's happened before, though.
When?
Oh, 1993. Notre Dame beat Florida State.
Hold on.
Florida State the national title.
Hold on, old timer.
Oh, man.
I mean, there was two teams, not four. And it wasn't even the BCS back then.
Yeah, but you're saying that with this comparison, hey, if it's Notre Dame or Michigan in, it would seem like head-to-head would matter, but it didn't matter in the past. That's all I'm saying.
Last question in the colleges, and tomorrow we'll talk more college. 6 o'clock Eastern, straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. Alabama, Tua looked healthy. We had questions about it. Look ahead to LSU now, 14 days away, or 2 weeks away. What's the line on that game?
Last week, there's not a current line available here in Vegas, but last week, and I don't imagine much would change, Alabama was around a 13-point road favorite at LSU.
Right now, where's LSU in your power rankings?
LSU's right around 5 or 6.
Wow. On the road at night, favored by almost 2 touchdowns. That's almost hard to believe. When we come back, we are breaking down Monday Night Football Vegas style.
That's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Want to let you know we are brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Guys, it is game one of the World Series tomorrow night in Boston. Dodgers at the Red Sox. Boston, a -145 favorite in game one tomorrow night.
And oh, by the way, in the series, Boston -145. What does that mean? It's a money line. If you want to bet Boston, 145 wins you 100. If you like the dog, you can bet a little to win a lot. 100 wins you 125 on the Dodgers. By the way, in that game one, Kershaw, right? Might have heard of him. If you go back to July 24th, 2012, 6-plus years ago, last time Kershaw was an underdog in a game. Since, There were 199 straight Kershaw was favored. Now in the 200th game since Kershaw was last an underdog, he's an underdog again in the World Series. In just a minute, we are going to break down the week in betting between the pros at the table. But Brad, we were talking about Urban Meyer. We were talking about Nick Saban, discipline and recruiting and how those go together. Sometimes it's, hey, we're going to be permissive and we're going to win is how coaches approach it. Others like Saban is, hey, it's like going into the Marines. You got a stat that says that discipline pays off.
Yeah, so Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes just lost another game by more than two touchdowns. The fourth time that's happened in the last 23 games for Ohio State.
23 games, they've been beat badly.
Four of them by more than two touchdowns. Nick Saban, 12 years at Alabama, 160 games, zero losses by more than two touchdowns.
So I think the debate, again, I'm an alum of The Ohio State University, but I'm a truth teller first. The whole debate about who's the best coach in college football, I think, probably was never really a debate.
No, but Meyer did beat Saban the last time they met.
Okay, now, this is going to be fun, because you would think with that knowledge, Brad, that you would do pretty well with your betting. Well,
oh man!
Every Monday, we're going to recap our green button bets. Now, what's green button bets? It's when a pro has an opinion, any other pro can press the green button, and it's an automatic bet. Every Monday, we recap for you. Accountability. Brad Powers.
Hi, I'm Brad Powers. I went 1-0 last week, and I'm up $100.
Hi, I'm Steve Fezzik. I went 0-2 with two wrong sides. I lost $200.
And do the math, SAT fans. I'm RJ Bell, 1-0, up $100. And let me tell you, it is sweet, sweet, sweet when Fez goes in that wallet. I wonder, Fez, do you ever pay me with hundreds that you won when you won one of your super contests?
It's possible. I take them out of the safe deposit box right to you.
Ooh, that made me tingle.
Do we have, by the way, do we have it in the budget to get one of those skinny Bob Barker mics when we do that segment? Because it really would, it feels like it would match the segment. I got to be honest.
Oh, it's good. It's great. It's great.
Guys, we do have Monday Night Football coming up later on. It is the Giants at the Falcons. Atlanta right now on pregame.com, a 4-point favorite at home.
Thanks, Jonas. You know what we do, Fez, and we started doing it last week, and the response has been awesome. And it's going through these games a concept at a time, a preview, a Vegas preview. So let me ask you, what do you consider the biggest factor in tonight's Monday night game?
It's the Atlanta Falcon injuries. The Falcons, frankly, have been one of the most injured teams in the NFL, really the most injured team. They had four starters out on defense, and the entire team has just gotten more injured, specifically on defense here. Two starters in the defensive line questionable for tonight.
Okay, so we talk about the concept of football sexy, the stuff that's in fantasy leagues, the stuff that leads the TV shows. Defensive guys that aren't big names don't lead TV shows, but Falcons got beat up like crazy over a month ago, and now it's getting worse on both sides of the ball. Factor one. What do you consider to be factor number two?
I think it's a really good spot for the Giants. Embarrassed on national TV by the Eagles, lost by 21 last Thursday. Now they've had 11 days to prepare and be focused for this game.
Now that one I could debate the other side. This Giants team gave up. You always hear NFL teams are professionals. They don't give up. They gave up on McAdoo last year. Agree or not?
I agree strongly.
Now that could be a sign. Okay, this is a team, the Giants, with a propensity to give up, and maybe they'll give up again. Or it could be, oh, look, we already gave up. We can't blame the coach again. It's going to be on us, the players. You think it goes that way?
Yeah, and I was very encouraged. I had Saquon Barkley was in an interview, and they're asking about the prospects for the season, and he didn't say, hey, we're going to try to get back to 500. He's like, we're 1-5. I'm looking to go 11-5 and make the playoffs.
Do you have a prop best bet? Because I actually like Barkley over for some different things. The reason being, the Falcons are banged up at linebacker. The kind of guys that second string guy maybe misses on the juke and he gets 40 yards. I think Barkley against the thinness of Atlanta's D particularly effective.
Yeah, it's a strong handicap. And right before the show, RJ, frankly, I was trying to find a prop on Barkley rushing and receiving yards over. I expect it to be right around 125, but I couldn't find it. But if I can find it, that would be a recommendation to play over.
Okay. Now, guys, here's something to let you know. We are in this table, pregame.com, the Super Contest Gold. Now, what is that? It's $5,000 to enter. Fez won the Super Contest twice, only guy ever. That's the old school $1,500 contest. We are in the $5,000. And entering this week, we were two games out of first only. And there was like 130 people involved. And oh, by the way, if we win, it's going to be almost $700,000. If we win that, we might take that Monday off. But we might not. But here's the thing. We're 2-1-1 so far. And we have the Giants tonight. Giants is our fifth pick, so it's a best bet.
The Odd Couple coming up next. We are straight out of Vegas. You can hear us 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, back tomorrow, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.